represent that you have suffered greatly for us, and you have left heaven to come down to us so that we might be atoned for our sins. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, yes, what you Jesus. Gave us that we might have life.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you glory. We give you honor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Partake of the bread together, please.
Yes. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Imagine the value of just a single drop of your blood for how one soul is worth the entire world. But we thank you, Lord, for what you've given up for us, oh God. We ask you to bless this cup to everybody. Lord, let your holy anointing flow on every single one of us, Lord God. Your will be done in our lives, dear God. We thank you. We give you honor and glory.
Thank you.
For the blood that you shed for our salvation.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Don't do
announcements. Well, praise God for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Amen. That covers everything. Praise God. I just wanted to speak a moment and brag on our ladies. We had a luncheon at Cindy's house yesterday, and she was gracious enough to host that. And while we didn't have a huge turnout, we had exactly who God called to be there. And so we had an amazing time. So ladies, stand and show your bags. We made beautiful bags yesterday. Don't be shy. Come on, stand up. Yesterday, our theme was to be a blessing, and we talked about how the leopards had sat outside the gate, and they were deciding whether they should go in, where they would starve, or go to the next city, and they decided to go to the city, and they got to the city, and it had been abandoned, because God had let the city know that soldiers were coming after them, and they were going to be defeated, and so they left, and they left everything behind. Their food and everything. And so these lepers were like, oh, now we found the feast, you know, and they were going to hide it for themselves. And the Lord spoke to them and reminded them about how he saved them and blessed them. And now we are called to bless others. So that was our theme yesterday. And we had a wonderful time. And maybe there's a lady or two that wants to share about their time there yesterday and how it meant to them. Cindy, go ahead. We did. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Yes, thank you, Cindy. We really enjoyed it. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of these ladies are very competitive. Jan, I won't mention any names, but she loves to play games, and boy, she was in it for the point. Anybody else want to share? All right. We are planning another event at Cindy's in October, so keep that in mind. The date will be announced a little bit later. We're going to plan in a tee, so we will wear our fancy hats and be very proper, like, yep, pinkies in the air and everything. So we will have a wonderful time there, I'm sure. Okay, Harry, you can come and do the announcements.
God is good all the time. Amen. He is a good and great God. Ladies, I have to agree with it. You are a blessing. And praise God that God created you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Lord says. So I just thank God he has not left us down here by ourselves, but he allowed you to be alongside of us and just enjoy the blessings that he gives us each and every day. So praise God. Enjoy it, ladies. A few announcements here. Ethiopians Missions Team, we're having a yard sale next week. And anyone that wishes to come out and just participate in any way, shape, or form, come on out. We'll be willing to fellowship and just enjoy telling you things God has blessed us with as we're doing the yard sale. Also, don't forget to mark your calendars for the 20th. The following week is the worship and prayer night. They'll be meeting at the Northern High School for worship and prayer. And they're still looking for volunteers, correct, Julia? Okay, greeters and a prayer team, they need more volunteers, so see Julia, and she'll be able to help you and direct you in any assistance you may need to meet God's provisions in our lives. Also, for men's ministry, we are living on the fishing trip this month, so on the 25th, we're leaving at 10 o'clock in the morning, Thursday morning, those men that are going. Also, the following, that weekend on the 27th, while I am away, Ishatu will be having men's breakfast for those that are here. There'll be a men's breakfast down at Ray so that, we can continue fellowshipping with the men that don't go on the trip. So be blessed and come on out, men. Also, women's ministry, September 6th. Again, God is, calling you women to come out. PMS, it looks like. Woo! Hallelujah! Man! No, I ain't changing my gender. It is a blessing to see what you ladies can do, and I thank God that you have time to be able to get out and spend with one another to grow in the Lord. So continue to do that. Be blessed. I guess that's one meeting is on the 6th and the PMS is on the 23rd. Is that correct? Is that what I'm reading right? Okay. Okay. Be blessed. You're double blessed on September. So enjoy, ladies. Also, we're going to be starting the first official family night out September 16th. That's a Friday evening. It starts at 6:30. Have any questions? You can see Jan. Jan Wonders will help you and bring out some games and just have a fun time on that evening. It's, as Jan said before, it's a time that we can get to know each other a little more, because here in church we only get a few moments to say hi and maybe chat a little bit. But this gives us an evening and more time to just be able to fellowship and build our relationships with one another. So with that, let us welcome the pastor as he comes forth with the word.
Thank you, Harry. I'd like to have Lexi and Savannah come. Mom. Oh, big sister. And husband. We welcome Josiah and Sierra here with us. They have moved back here. So we welcome you. We want to pray for Lexi and Savannah. They are heading back to school. So if you just stretch out your hand. Lexi, what college, university? North Central in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is her last year. And Savannah? How? She's at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, my alma mater. Her second year. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's stretch out your hands to them. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your calling. And Father, we just pray that you would minister to Lexi and Savannah. Lord, bless them this year. Minister to them. Go before them. Help them. Give them strength. Provide. Lord, we thank you for being faithful to them. And Lord, for your protection upon them. And I ask, Lord God, that you will give them a great year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. We welcome our home church here in the sanctuary, our live stream, and also our phone church. There's a snake there. I don't know how that thing got there.
We will get you.
Thanks, Doug. Mark chapter 7. I want us to look at setting a limit. Mark chapter 7. Let's look at verse 6, 7, and 24. He answered and said to them, "Well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. However, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Down to verse 24. "And from there he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hidden." Father, thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, for your touch. We ask, Lord God, for your help. Lord, we pray your blessing. Touch every heart here, we pray. Everyone that is listening, that you would touch. Help them, Lord God, we ask. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. Thanking you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a passage in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 that says this: "My spirit shall not always strive with man." King David knew all about this in Psalms chapter 51, when he was repenting of what he did. He asked that the Lord would not take his spirit from him. Equally, I believe, noteworthy is a closing reminder in the last chapter of Revelation, in chapter 22 and verse 11, which says this: "Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." The interference of the Pharisees in the Galilean ministry of Jesus was just too much, even for our Lord. What excellent healing and deliverance that he had done among the community and the people there. And the scripture, of course, tells us, "Except in his hometown of Nazareth. They didn't want him, so he left. Jesus never forces himself, his ways, upon anyone, especially when he's not welcome. From Canaan to Capernaum to Decapolis, our Lord's works and deeds were amazing. Some people were dumbfounded because of them, couldn't figure them out. He had healed people of all sorts of diseases. He had raised the dead. He had calmed the Sea of Galilee. The winds and the waves, they obeyed his every command. He had cast out demons, leaving men and women free from the shackles of fear and superstition. The crowds were huge. They were enormous. Moving wherever Jesus moved, going from place to place as he went. And oh, how they loved him. And oh, how he ministered to every one of their needs. But the religious people did not like it. They never do. They didn't want all this emotion, all this conviction, or this belief, this being set free from blindness and deafness, this being able to walk again, this snatching victims from the grave. They weren't into all this sentimental stuff. All this healing, all this giving back life to people that were sick. No, they had an attitude of why help them? Why help the blind? Why help the lame? Why help the deaf? Let them worry about their own issues, their own difficulties, and their own problems. Let them provide and support their self. If they struggle, so what? Life is life. Deal with it. And keep on going. That's their attitude. Church, let me tell you something. The religious people hate Jesus. You hear me? The religious people hate Jesus. They hated his divine presence. And you better believe it, they don't like his church or his people either. They wanted a system. The world's methods, the world's strategy, the world's techniques. They wanted the world's ways. They didn't want a savior. Not at all. They wanted someone who would obey them. Jesus, they growled with anger. Enough of all this healing business for a moment. There's enough of that. Hear us out, Lord. Enough of this stuff. What about your disciples? Let's think about them. They do not ceremonially wash before eating. The religious people are saying this. They do not clean their dishes properly. And church, I want you to think of it. All around them are people being supernaturally set free. People healed. And the Pharisees, the religious, can think about, all they can think about is customary things of ideas, phrases, a lot of words, rites, and rules. That's all. They have a religion of how to wash, They have a religion how to wash their hands or wash the pots. And all they can come up with and say, don't forget to use the right soap. You say, does it happen today? It sure does. You better believe it does. Let a sovereign move of God's Holy Spirit move across the sanctuary on Sunday morning. One that sets whole planned services aside. A service that the lost are saved, the sick are healed, and someone will say the service went too long. You know what I'm talking about. How are we supposed to get into the restaurants at a good time if the service goes too long? My goodness gracious, the lines will be backed up to the next county. Oh yes, you better believe it, it happens today. The Pharisees remain. That means the pots and the pans crowd are still here. They're still around. You know those ones that the wash your hands the right way crowd? We want this. We want this and this. This is the way it's done. It's frightening because when the pots and pans, the rules and the rights crowd shows up, Jesus leaves. And when Jesus isn't wanted, he's gone. They went all the right ways, say the right things. Always at the right time. You see, when Jesus is not welcome, he goes. And what good is it if he's not here? Mark reminds us in Mark 7:24, as we read, he reminds us of that short narrative. And it says, and from thence, the King James says, and from thence, which was his encounter with the Pharisees. And from thence, the encounter that he had with the Pharisees, Jesus arose and he left. Not only did he leave the region, he left the country. For the first and only time in his earthly ministry, Jesus left the nation of Israel and went into what we know today as a place called Lebanon. Jesus came to his own people, the Jews first of all. The scripture tells us that. He himself was a Jew. He was a descendant of King David. And he came to minister to the children of Abraham first. Thank God he included us. Earlier, when he had commissioned his disciples to go place to place, Jesus warned them not to go beyond Israel's boundaries. He would seek and save his own. But in his own town of Nazareth, they didn't want him. He was rejected. He was refused. They didn't want his ways. Not at all. You see, church, the religious leaders wanted nothing to do with him. Nothing. Apparently, their verbal abuse in Galilee was the breaking point, and Jesus said nothing. But he left. I am convinced that there is a fundamental rule here. I'm convinced of that. Somewhere in life, there is a line that is drawn by rejecting Jesus. Somewhere. Think about it. A line is drawn. I want you to listen to Jesus' own words in Matthew 23, 37 to 39. This is what Jesus said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And for I say unto you, ye shall not see me again. That's Jesus' own words. And I say to you, church, yes, there is a setting of limits. There is a line drawn in the sand of your life. And it can be crossed, perhaps irreparable if it is let go. Number one, a sinner can cross that line by constant rejection of the Holy Spirit's convicting calling salvation. It's not hard to figure out that there are those who have heard the gospel news of the gospel. They've heard it for years. They remember the Lord moving in a powerful way. They remember when so-and-so was set free by a bad habit. They saw the healings, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. They remember the altars being filled. And people were letting their burdens at the altar. They remember the tears that fell onto the altar many times over. But they also remember they are still not saved. They might even remember a specific sermon, maybe one on hell. And they're still not saved. Church, let me remind you that God's Spirit will not always strive with you. That's the scripture. You believe the scripture? A person might have attended such and such a church faithfully. Maybe even a tither. Maybe even gave the missions. Maybe they enjoyed the worship. But they're still not saved. Maybe they even worked around the church on different projects. Using their talents. A builder, a painter, a decorator, and they are still not saved. They might have come to every Easter and Christmas program for years, faithfully supporting every one of them. Forgive me of this tickle. They can tell you the Easter and Christmas stories by heart. When seeing Jesus on the cross at that Easter cantata, they would sit in their pews and tears would run down their face. While sitting in a Christmas program, seeing Jesus lying in a manger, tears would roll down their face, and they're still not saved. your spouse, your child, your friend has begged you for years to give your heart to Jesus. You promise that you would someday, but you're still not saved. You have heard the gospel message. You have been witnessed to by others. And you are still not saved. Church, there is a line drawn in the sand. And maybe even now, it could be that somebody is hearing these words and listening to this sermon and has crossed that line. And the cost of doing so is beyond any human description. I want you to listen to the words in Genesis 6:3 again. Jesus will not always strive with you. One can only come to God as the Holy Spirit draws him. The day could come when you reluctantly decide to give in and commit your life to Christ. But when you reach for him, he will be gone. He will not knock at your door forever. Number two, a Christian can cross a line of every kind by refusing to allow Jesus to be Lord. One man said this. He said, one would almost think, hearing some folk talk, that salvation is all there is. That kneeling at the altar somehow purchases a couple mansions. What some think. Maybe even a three-decker crown. And an unending vault of rewards in heaven. And as one said long ago, it ain't necessarily so, excuse the English. Because the rewards do not go to believers simply because they are saved. They go to those faithful disciples of Christ who did the will of the Father. Salvation guarantees eternal life and freedom from sin, nothing more. Salvation does. And it may come as a shock to many church believers that following death or the rapture comes their personal appearance before the Lord. No, it's not going to be judged as their salvation, but they will be as their works. And it goes like this. Grace saves you. Grace does. Discipleship brings the rewards. Paul put it in a different manner in 1 Corinthians 3:14. He says, if any person's work abide, he or she will receive a reward. Church, there is nothing automatic about this reward business. Well, I've been a pretty good person this day. That doesn't automatically give you a reward. You see, many want salvation. A lot of people want salvation. Yes, they want eternal life. They want to go to heaven. But they are unyielding and refuse the lordship of Christ in their day-to-day life. And you ask the question why. And it is because it involves total and reserved obedience. That's why. When a person yields to the Lordship of Christ, they acknowledge His ownership and give up their personal rights. And Jesus knocks at the door of the heart, inviting to follow Him. To take up your cross, to obey the great commission of world evangelization, of faithful service to Him. Do you know the benefits of such lives are enormous? Benefits. They are beyond description. And this is what has happened. It's this. They have stiffened their back. It doesn't matter what you say or do to convince them. It don't matter. They're not bending one bit. They're not giving in. They say, I've got my own little thing going on here. Back off. Don't interfere with my life. I'll be in church as many Sundays as I can, provided the services don't go too long. But I'm not promising anything else. And they come back with that type of attitude. They come back and they say this. Oh yeah, one more thing. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. Yeah, He's my Savior. But I'm still the Lord of my life. That's what they say. They want to rule their way, even though Scripture warns different. And there is a way, according to Proverbs 14:12, a way that seems right to people, but the end of such pursuit is death. But they still pursue their own ways. They still pursue their own plans. Ignoring Jesus' gentle knock. But tragically, there will come a day when the truth of discipleship sinks on in on them. And they will determine to do the will of God. Man, they're going to go and do, oh, they're going to do it. But they will find out that Jesus has long since honored their insistence upon doing their own thing. And He has gone to somebody else. And their name has been taken off the trophies. They are now reserved for someone else. Church, let me tell you something. We're dealing with God here. We're not dealing with a puppet on a string. We're dealing with God. Not some local self-government follower. And His Spirit, He says, will not always strive with us. There is a line that is drawn in the sand. And the last one, number three, is this. A church can cross a line by refusing to allow the Lord's presence to be realized in a tangible way, an observable way. It's not hard, church, to adopt a religious agenda that may or may not be of the Lord. You know the schedules. Everything must be at the right time. There's no room for the Spirit. You know what I mean? Because we got our agenda. And of course, we can't wait on God. Oh boy, that's too old-fashioned. That was for Paul's day, not for our day. We sing so many choruses, We do a special, have endless announcements, push for the offering, hear Uncle John sing his solo, and have time for a three-point sermon, all in 20 minutes. Years ago, there was a poster that showed a Sunday morning service. It was on their way. And the choir was singing, oh, such beautiful song, hitting every note. Man, everything, the timing was great. Everything was going good. The minister was full of unction. Man, he was slick in his black garb. And man, things just going great. The people sat at attention in the padded pew. All was going according to the bulletin. On the second row, sitting next to the aisle, was Jesus, sound asleep. Was the writer of Hebrews exaggerating when he said this? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think he was exaggerating at all. The Jesus who meets with us today is the same Jesus who raised the dead, who fed the multitudes, who cast out demon spirits, who turned the water into wine, who sent his word and healed them, who's coming back again to take his church home. That's who we serve. It isn't just a church service where Jesus wants to be Lord. In every area of our life, which includes the church ministry, he wants to be Lord of. And we have the choice to choose him and his direction, or we can hold out like the Pharisees and do it our own way. You know, like religion. You know, like business as usual. Everything was just dandy. It was just excellent, according to man. Very good, first rate, according to man. All quite proper. Manly, gracious, fitting. But the hurting were still hurting. The blind left still not seeing. The sick were not healed. The cripple still didn't walk. You know, business as usual. And in closing, what happened? What happened? Oh, Jesus left a long time ago. He went to heal a woman's daughter. Oh, he was calling disciples to follow him. He was calling them to forsake all others. He went to speak to a man about being honest. He was doing the will of his father. He talked to a man who climbed the tree, went to his house and fellowshiped with him. Did he say anything? Oh, yes, I believe he did. Something about a line drawn in the sand. Shall we bow our heads? Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, that we're not here to do business as usual. We want your spirit to have freedom. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch this church. Lord, I pray that you would so move. Lord, touch the hurting. Touch the lonely. Lord, minister. Help us as we give ourselves to you. For surely we know that at this day we are bought with a price. And Lord, we don't want to throw that away. It is the precious blood of the Lamb. Maybe you're here today, or you've heard this message, you'll say, Pastor, what God has done in my life and what God is doing, I don't want to waste it, but I want to be used for His glory. I want to be that person. Even if it's behind the scene, or whatever it might be, that you would use me for your glory. I want to pray for you if you'd raise your hand. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you've seen these hands. Lord, and I believe, Lord God, with all their heart, they mean it. Lord, you've seen them. And Father, I pray that you'll help them. I pray, God, that you'll give to them exactly what they are in need of. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll even give them a holy boldness. Lord, I pray that you will open doors that need to be opened. And I pray, Lord God, your touch. Lord, use them for your glory. Lord, I'm believing, Lord, in these next months and that, Lord, things are going to start to take place. That you're going to do marvelous things. You're going to open doors that were never opened before. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, as we give our lives to you, use us for your glory. In Jesus we pray it all. Amen and amen. God bless you. Don't forget, we're taking down the decorations. If you can stay, we'd appreciate it. God bless you. Have a great day.